Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The last day of the month, the last day of this month, October 31st, we will be, quote-unquote, celebrating what has surprisingly become the second most popular American celebration, Halloween, only behind Christmas in popularity, which is, to me, is just unbelievable. But you say that's okay, you know, celebrating Halloween, because Halloween has Christian roots to it also, the same as Christmas. But is that true, or have Christians been sold a bill of goods and convinced to overtly participate in something quite the opposite of what our Christian witness should be? My guest today is Linda Harvey, who is president of Columbus-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Diane.
Give us a little bit of background on why. I know you're best known for your involvement in helping kids and helping school districts understand the danger of promoting the homosexual lifestyle, or allowing organizations like GLSEN to come in to their schools to set up shop, so to speak. But you're also involved in helping kids understand the danger of paganism. And
right.
That's something that a lot of people have forgotten. So give us a little bit of what the mission of Mission America is and why this particular issue is such a burden on your heart.
Well, when we started back in the early 1990s, it was because I had left behind my agnostic and liberal worldview and become a Christian. And when I did that, one of the first things I did was decide that I wanted to, or I felt God was leading me to, use my background in communications to write and maybe speak about this, some of the new things I was learning.
Mm-hmm.
So then I became more educated about some of the issues, and my worldview changed. I became quite interested in conservative political issues, but also in the change within Christianity, because I'd been away from it for 2 decades. You know, I hadn't really gone to church much since I was a teenager at that point. And I said, you know, I need to learn more about what's going on within the Christian denominations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only were my eyes opened to the rapid embrace of homosexuality and radical feminism within the mainline Christian denominations, I was shocked when I found out, and they kind of go in some ways hand in hand, all the pagan influences that you can read about clearly in Scripture are forbidden were just being flirted with and embraced all over the place in Christianity. So I became very interested in the issue of the creeping new paganism in our culture. And then, of course, my big interest has always been kids, and so I applied both of those issues to what's going on within youth culture and within our schools.
Right. Oh, fantastic, because, you know, as you mentioned, the paganism and the LGBT, the homosexual agenda, they kind of go hand in hand. In fact, up in Erie, we have a group that classify themselves as gay pagans.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that as I read more, that the ones up in Erie, they're not the only group of gay pagans.
Oh,
it's something that goes, as you're saying, goes hand in hand. And why would that be, do you think?
Well, when you've thumbed your nose at God in one way, it becomes more appealing to do it in another way as well. And they often, one follows right behind the other, especially among women. Not always, they're homosexual pagan men as well, but I found it to be within the lesbian community. There's just so much embrace of alternative spirituality, and it's part of radical feminism too. So they all kind of, one leads into the other pretty naturally.
So they all just kind of go hand in hand. To me, it's amazing. I have seen, what is it, after Labor Day, that they start getting Halloween candy out. They target the kids that way because, wow, we're going to go trick-or-treating, we're going to come home with bags of candy. What's the background of Halloween? And I know a lot of Christians connect it to All Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm.
What's the connection? Is there a connection? And just kind of describe some of the history behind Halloween.
Well, the thing is that you have people now who are getting defensive about Halloween, and they're saying, well, Halloween has pagan roots. It's All Hallows Eve,
mm-hmm.
which is the night before All Saints Day. But first of all, there are an awful lot of Christians who don't observe All Saints Day because we think about, you know, I mean, I guess the heroes of the church are one thing, but in Scripture, saints are all believers.
Right.
So there's some issue with that. And then All Hallows Eve was really a designation by the Holy Roman Church in the 8th century. It was a local accommodation to local folk traditions. mostly in the British Isles, but other places as well, where and a lot of these folks had decided that they just converted over some of their old pagan traditions of ways to appease evil spirits, which they believed were out in force at this time of the year, which is the close of harvest. Mm-hmm. They would have bonfires. They would do the trick-or-treating, but it wasn't called trick-or-treating then. It was, you know, trying to go from house to house and leave, or out on their own houses, leave little treats to, again, this is all part of appeasing evil spirits. Well,
so they would leave treats for the spirits. I mean, for the pagan
right,
spirits. Okay.
Right. That is considered to be where that started back a long time ago.
Okay.
Along with the bonfires, the, you know, carving of, at that point, it was turnips and, you know, putting on things that were masks and ways of disguising yourself. In other words, people were trying to play games with evil spirits, appease them, saying, stay away from me and go someplace else, because that was considered to be a night when there were a lot more of them out. And supposedly, the veil was thinnest, and that's what the modern pagans and witches often celebrate the same thing. They call it Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, October 31st. It's a big holiday for them. Now, they don't believe, many witches and pagans don't, modern, say they don't believe in Satan. That doesn't mean that Satan doesn't believe in them. You know, you don't have to
believe
he exists for him to be messing with you,
as
we well know. But back a long time ago, that was the idea, was that you needed to do something to keep these evil spirits away from you. Well, that's not a Christian concept either.
Right, true.
The way
Christ,
we arm ourselves against
the
demonic world is to put on the full armor of God,
absolutely.
Right?
All you have to do is read Frank Peretti's books to know that.
Yes, you put on the full armor of God.
Absolutely,
you know,
and read Scripture.
The truth of God, you know the truth of Scripture, you have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you let the Lord fight those battles in the heavenlies for you, because it is out of our material body's realm. We do not need to be messing in that realm. Our only entree into the spiritual world is directly upward to the Lord. And that's it. Not to dead humans, not to saints, not to any other
kind of
folks, or any other not even to angels. We're not supposed to pray to angels, right? So all of
look
that
what happened
recklessness
to,
is part and parcel of this flirtation now with, oh, don't worry about that stuff. That's old fundamentalism. No, it's not. It's pretty basic Christian doctrine, and it's a protection for us, and it's our most rational way of dealing with this and having God be our help and our protector.
Right. There's no doubt that Satan is alive and that there's spirits out there. So what you're saying is that back when this concept all began, it was actually an effort by the church to appease local pagans, or kind of incorporate some of their practices.
Folk traditions, yeah.
Okay.
That were indeed messing around with spirits.
Okay.
Evil spirits, which, again, that's demons.
Yeah. So they were trying to prove that the church back then was trying, and unfortunately it does the same thing today, is trying to prove that they were really nice people and that they could incorporate some of the pagan practices into maybe not the Sunday worship, but in some of what they did in order to maybe get some of those pagans to start coming to church?
Well, right, and to, you know, accommodate some of their beliefs and say, you don't have to give up all your beliefs. We just weave this. We'll just rename it. We'll call it All Hallows Eve. It's the day before All Saints Day, and you all can continue to think about your evil spirits and worry about them and do your rituals that are supposedly to keep them at bay. And we'll just wink and nod at that. You know, none of that's biblical.
No,
I mean,
absolutely
that's not.
Not
right.
And as we look at that, you know, and as we look at leaving treats to appease the spirits, which has changed into trick-or-treating, where kids go out to get treats from the neighborhood. Well, we have that, and we have the carving of the turnip turning into the carving of a pumpkin.
Right.
And we see that, though, it has, even that has morphed into horror houses and not real skeletons, but, you know, the things that are hanging from trees.
Right.
And just the whole horror that is associated today with Halloween. But even I can see how it's become even worse, you know, in my lifetime.
Right, exactly. Because I came to this all kind of fresh as a new Christian in about 1992, 93, as I'm beginning to look. That's about the last year that I let my kids go trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new Christian for a year or two at that point. one of my friends gave me some pamphlets about this, and I started reading about it. I thought, I think that's making too much of a big deal. And then as I began to read and study Scripture, I thought, you know, this is changing even from when I was a child.
Yeah.
And it's not that there isn't, you can't make way too much of a big deal out of things as a Christian, but when you watch something become a huge phenomenon, and you know that its roots are not in a Christian concept, and you see it becoming weirder and weirder and weirder.
Yeah, which happens. I mean, take your eyes off of the Lord.
Exactly.
And it's only natural that it's going to morph into something horrible.
Exactly.
And I think
that's the thing I started looking at. I thought, you know, you look at Halloween, you know, who cares about candy and costumes? It's way more
candy
than that.
Anyway. I'll take the candy
little
part.
Kids
yeah.
do that. They are being taught that I can start celebrating this, and I will continue to. Well, by middle school, they're going to be at sleepovers for Halloween or in that time frame where girls are going to get out the palm reading the
Ouija
boards.
They're
going to go to parties where there are people being a gypsy who's telling fortunes. They'll bring out the Ouija boards. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is part and parcel, and even the well-grounded Christian kid is going to be pulled right into what are the real roots here. And so it's a great example for Christians to make a decision about looking at the world around you and reading the writing on the wall and saying, I'm going to have to back off of this because it's going in a direction, it's becoming way bigger, way weirder than
and there's no doubt about that.
Before.
Yeah.
And that's where Christian discernment comes in.
I totally agree. And to make sure that your kids are well grounded in biblical teaching and in the fact that of what Scripture says about palm reading and fortune telling and such as that, if they're invited to a friend's house for a Halloween party or whatever. Kids need to be well grounded in what Scripture says to everything that's part of their life. But when it comes to something that's so popular and is becoming increasingly popular, you know, it used to just be elementary kids. You'd have a Halloween party at school and you might go trick-or-treating Halloween night. We never did. My parents, we never went trick-or-treating just because we didn't. There was no Christian reason for not doing it. It just was not something that my mom and dad got involved in with us. But it leaves the church in a situation of wondering what or how can they respond? How can they respond and what should a church do when it comes to Halloween?
Right. It's really considered to be, you know, part of the harvest season.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you could have a harvest party.
Mm-hmm.
You can celebrate parts of the harvest without doing Halloween. But what we do is we turn our lights out. We put a brochure that I have on our website at missionamerica.com.
Oh, okay.
People can feel free to adapt it and however they wish. But it's just a brochure about our family and why we decided not to go. And I try to phrase it, you know, tactfully, like we're not condemning you or anything. Here's our reason.
Right.
And we go out to dinner. We don't answer the door because we're not there.
Right.
But we try to make it a witnessing opportunity at the same time.
Right.
It's a basket with brochures on the front porch.
Okay.
So I don't think that honoring this and teaching your children to honor it is a good idea because of what it will become as you get older, because of what it is even among little kids. Haunted houses are scary for a reason, and they're scary to really sensitive little kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, who come out crying on the other end sometimes. Yeah.
And even some cartoons are out there.
True.
And
speaking of movies, we've seen movies become, when it comes to the horror aspect, have become increasingly, haven't there even been movies, Halloween, that have come out?
Right.
I think there's been two or three of them. I'm not sure. I don't go watch those kind of movies. I don't watch movies hardly at all anyway. But we see that they've taken the Halloween theme and produced a movie, and it's centered around horror.
It is. Well, you know, there's other thing that bothers me so much. Is it's like the Harry Potter thing. People said, oh, you're making such a big deal out of this. It's, again, it's discernment. When you saw how this thing exploded into popularity, and it's portraying children favorably performing witchcraft.
Right.
Christians ought to say, you know, it's okay to let my kids read a little fantasy, and I'm not going to, you know, forbid them from all of that. But that crosses a line.
Absolutely.
Particularly when it is a worldwide sensational phenomenon with eight books, and then all the movies that are coming out. Then you say, I'm going to have to say no, because this really is dishonoring God. Well, I just went out this afternoon, and I'm out leafleteering my neighborhood about conservative issues of voting against the school levy, for instance.
Mm.
That's what I'm trying to do. There are so many of these houses around here that are decorated for Halloween, and what they do is they have little, like, zombie heads.
Mm.
They have skeletons. It's all the horror stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's tarantulas, and, you know, and I'm thinking, really? I mean, right. Think about what you're doing here.
Yeah. And that is part, that's all part of Halloween now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, going back when I was a kid, you know, there would be a few houses that may have some kind of Halloween decorations, but that was rare where in my neighborhood.
Right.
And if there was, there'd be a carved pumpkin or something like that. Mostly that's what the decorations were, just a carved pumpkin.
Right.
But increasingly, as you just said, what was in your neighborhood, that's not the only neighborhood in the country that's exactly the way you describe.
Right.
That has become what Halloween is.
Life. You drive around here at night.
There are a few around
there
here.
There are three or four houses on our way, you know, mm-hmm. out to a bigger road where they have orange light.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a new thing. This is a new phase of Halloween.
Yeah.
So this is where Christian discernment is, I believe, needed. Also to look down the road for where your little kids will be heading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will be at those parties where girls are dressing in skimpy costumes.
Right.
There's drugs, alcohol, mm-hmm. sexual experimentation.
Right, absolutely.
Very big once you get to the post-high school level, in high school
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Depending on the crowd your child runs with, start saying no.
Yeah, that's
you know, it's not a God-honoring holiday.
It's not, and as you're saying, churches can have like harvest parties or something
right.
like that that helps divert the kids' attention away from or help to educate the kids that Halloween's not, you know, Halloween should not be celebrated like this and that God is the answer. I mean, that's basically what it is, where all the kids, even though they may not realize it, Halloween is pointing them away from God and pointing them towards Satan.
And it's pointing them toward a whole range of activities. And there are a lot of fingerprints of Satan on this holiday.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at all the, you know, the palm reading, the fortune telling,
right.
the horror aspects of it, the highly sexualized aspects of it more and more, especially as kids get older,
mm-hmm.
this is a no-brainer for Christians. This is like flashing red lights saying, God is not here. You know,
yeah.
Jesus is missing from here.
Yeah.
Even with the fun aspects of just the initial trick-or-treating and the candy, I think it's something, that's why I wrote the article,
mm-hmm.
10 Reasons to Fast from Halloween.
And where can folks sign? That's on WorldNet Daily, right?
Yeah, on WorldNet Daily.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm thinking, you know, you might just want to try it. Just try skipping Halloween. See how, you know, your family feels about this and how, you know, I mean, pray about it,
mm-hmm.
too, but you know, just take a look at where it's going,
yeah.
and you can skip this holiday, and the world will not come crashing down. You will not be the bad parent.
Right.
You will not be the one who's deprived your children of anything essential.
And my concern is, as you've just described, the increasing evilness that is portrayed or that has become a part of this second most popular holiday. I could not believe it when I read that in the article. Second most popular mm-hmm. holiday in the country.
As far as buying decorations,
well, right.
and, you know, the parties and everything going along with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they don't, of course, we're not at that point of gift buying yet.
Not yet. I see that down the road. Let's go buy someone a skull or something. I mean, you know, what kind of Halloween present would you buy? I don't know.
Right.
I'll take a box of candy, though.
Yeah.
It is crazy and it is scary, and it concerns me when churches have Halloween parties and don't put any kind of restrictions on costumes. I know that when I led the youth several years back at our church, we had a harvest party. And I said, don't come dressed. I said, you can come in costumes, but I said, do not come dressed. And, well, I know what I said. I said, you have to come dressed as a biblical character. That's what I said.
Oh, that's good.
So I accept. One of the young men came dressed as Lazarus.
Like
the dead Lazarus, mm-hmm. yes. So he worked around that. And it wasn't, I could not complain that much because it was a biblical character.
Yeah.
But again, though, the concept for him was, this is what Halloween really is.
Right.
I have to come dressed as something scary or something representing a mummy, you know, with the way he dressed up.
Right.
And that's what is Halloween is to these kids. And it's going to get worse as we allow the culture to take this holiday, which is not a Christian holiday anyway. So culture can do with it what it may, but it's the Christian's responsibility, as you're saying, to be discerning and to educate their kids on the dangers of Halloween as the world is celebrating it.
Right. I think this is a good way for Christians to start thinking about, what am I willing to deny my kids?
Mm-hmm.
What am I willing to do without for the sake of honoring the Lord? And we better start practicing this. I guess that's a part. I didn't really write that in the article, but that's really where we need to start going. Is
yeah.
Things are going to get tough here unless
mm-hmm.
we elect new leadership all over this country and everybody begins to honor religious freedom again.
Yeah.
You better get used to some persecution for your faith.
Yeah.
And this is
it's
a way
gonna
to
happen.
Start to say, we're not doing this because we love God. And is God going to punish you because you don't celebrate Halloween? Absolutely not. And so you start from there, that God's not going to be displeased. So is he pleased with me celebrating it? Well, you know, I think he would probably find it to be a nice thing if we would just lay off of it.
Right.
Now, the other thing I hear, I'm sure you've heard this too, is that we make it, this is people taking this way too seriously, that it's a good thing to make light of horror and
that so desensitizes the kids to the horror of it, or to horror in general.
And it bypasses the fact that once you've made this decision that you're going to go for this, and your kids are immersed in the goblins and ghosts and skeletons and the blood and the gore, the fake and all that stuff, that there aren't going to be sensitive kids out there who are deeply disturbed by this, and they may not even share it with their parents.
Yeah.
That nightmares come out of this, and parents may be thinking in November, how come my child's having nightmares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think about what you've
been exposed to. Think about what you've exactly.
And the child may not be, even be able to articulate it because, you know, little tiny kids are being hauled.
They don't understand, exactly.
Yeah, they're being hauled into all these situations.
Exactly.
And they may not know. So
yeah.
I think you really have to think about, is God in this? I don't see God in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so churches could have alternatives, could like have harvest parties and such like that, and
right.
get the truth of the gospel out. And that does open the door for churches, for the Christian community to reach out to kids they may not be able to, as long as the gospel's presented.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if you're inviting children to a harvest party, it should be something that's an alternative. It's thanking God for the harvest. It could be a precursor to Thanksgiving, which we should be thanking God for the harvest.
Right.
And could be just one more way we do that and, you know, honor God's beautiful creation, his blessings in abundance here in America. There are all kinds of ways that could be done. And part of it is because God is sovereign and the Lord Jesus Christ was the best gift of all. And, I mean, that absolutely should be there, and it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It's a great opportunity to reach out to kids if it's used properly and is used as a method to get the gospel out and the love of God.
Right.
And you say the brochure is on your website?
It is on our website.
Okay.
It is underneath a little section called the New Paganism.
New Paganism, okay, so in that section, okay.
In that section is our Halloween doorstep brochure, and you can feel free to adapt it however it works for your family. I just print it out on orange paper, and we just leave it on the doorstep, and there it is.
Okay, great. And what is your website?
It's missionamerica.com.
Okay, and what's that? That'd be the best way for folks to contact you through the website?
Yes, it would be. We also have on the upper right hand on that website is a link to this article on Halloween that's on Daily.
Okay, good. So people don't have to search for it. It's right there. Okay, so that's missionamerica.com.
Right.
And thanks, Linda, for delving into this holiday, because very few do. We just, unfortunately, just accept it as it is and don't make the pagan connections. So, hey, have a good day, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Diane.
Hey, take care.
Take care.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.